Welcome to ID the Future, a podcast about intelligent design and evolution.
Greetings and welcome to the ID the Future podcast. This is Casey Luskin broadcasting in Seattle, Washington. Once again, we have with us today Denise O'Leary from Toronto, Canada, a very prolific journalist and author on the ID issue, as well as we learned in the previous podcast, quite an accomplished blogger. She actually has been involved with some training of people on about blogging. Some people consider her to be an expert in the blogosphere, and it's very clear with her four blogs that she contributes to on the issue of intelligent design that she has a lot of experience blogging on the ID issue. And those would be, correct me if I'm wrong, Denise, Post-Darwinist, Mindful Hack, Uncommon Descent, and the Access Research Network ARN Update blog.
Yes.
Okay, great. Well, I'm glad I got those right. I check those blogs frequently, and I find them to be very informative.
The Mindful Hack, incidentally, supports the book called The Spiritual Brain. Mario Beauregard, a neuroscientist, is the lead author. I'm the co-author.
Mm-hmm.
We don't so much get into intelligent design issues there as into mind-brain issues.
Mind-brain, okay.
But that's a related controversy.
And some ID proponents have gotten into that debate.
Yes, indeed.
From an ID perspective. So I think that if our listeners will stay tuned, we will be talking about that book in an interview in an upcoming podcast. So don't worry, we will get to that one soon. But Denise, what I would like to ask you right now, I mean, as you stated in the first interview we did with you, one of the things that got you most interested in this issue was seeing how the opposition responded when people questioned Darwin. And I cannot tell you how many emails I've received over the years, people who have seen the way that certain Darwinist blogs, I won't necessarily name them right now, but certain leading Darwinist blogs, the vitriol and the hate and the name-calling and just the really outright knee-jerk, you would almost say, reactionary hatred towards anything that questions Darwin on those blogs. And they have emailed me saying, look, you know, I'm just a lurker. I'm just a neutral guy in this debate who's observing the internet debates over intelligent design. You know, Casey, I think you made some good points, and I see the way the other side behaves. And really, I think that I just don't think that I want to be aligned with that view. There's something distasteful there, and they see that there's something wrong with the way that they respond. And that shows the strength of their position is not that strong. Anyway, I'm going off here. I should let you be the one talking. There is definitely a culture on the internet over the debate on intelligent design evolution. I even read once that intelligent design for a while was the most blogged about issue during the year of 2005 during the Dover trial. So I'd like you to comment a little bit about the internet culture of the debate, the blogosphere over intelligent design evolution. What do you see? What strikes you about this culture?
Well, I find the Darwinists hilarious, actually. And I suppose you could say that I've said some things about them that wouldn't amuse them as much as they amuse my more regular readers.
Sure.
I think I probably coined the term Darwin bot to refer to people who, originally, the people who phoned the Smithsonian to raise Cain about Privileged Planet because they had read that the film was anti-evolution.
Mm.
It isn't, but how would they know?
Mm.
Anyway, I delete any number of comments from my combox of the sort described among bloggers as combox morons.
Okay.
The sort of people who write in referring to me as a cockroach or whatever. And I think to myself, now, with a background in media, of course, I tend to try to treat the combox as a letters to the editor column.
Gotcha.
Which is as much as to say that the primary question that concerns me is, would this benefit anybody reading it?
Mm, gotcha.
Cockroach or a string of profanities or something is not going to benefit anybody reading it, and therefore I don't just get rid of it.
And plus it would offend the cockroaches. I mean,
well, now that you mention it, there, you know, we tree huggers, we have our standards too. but anyway, yes, there is a culture out there of, I can only describe it as enormous angst.
Mm.
Every so often, I do get to hear what the Darwinists say about me. And again, angst totally describes it if there isn't a better word.
Mm.
I'm just a journalist. Well, so? Did I ever pretend to be anything else?
Sure. Well, but
it's my job.
But you're not pledging full and complete allegiance to Darwin. And if you don't do that, in some people's books, that's a mortal sin, basically.
Not in mine.
Okay, fair enough.
And so, but in any event, journalism is as a freelance journalism is one of the genuinely free professions on earth. I can report on any controversy that I don't get shot reporting it.
Sure, sure. Tell us a little about some experiences you've had where people have attacked you. You mentioned one earlier when we were talking off the interview about Little Lambs of Affirmation. I'd like to know about, could you recount this story for us?
A team of what seemed to me to be exceedingly silly people have come up with the notion that anyone who questions an establishment orthodoxy is a denialist. If so, after 35 years in journalism and being well aware of how establishment orthodoxies get created, I'm proud to be a denialist, and I recommend it to everyone. Now, when I discovered that they happened to be attacking me, I promptly linked to something or other and pointed out that they were the little lambs of affirmation, and I even, to show my appreciation, because you have to remember that every time they do that, more people come to my blog, and so the number of people reading the Post-Darwinist has grown apace, I linked to Box, Where Sheep May Safely Graze. I think that should be their theme song. I've nothing against them. I love everybody who brings people to my blog. And in fact, I would say that of the two groups, the Darwinists and the ID guys, the ID guys have a better natural sense of how the blogosphere should work. Because, for example, the Darwinists have never seemed to get the fact that when they spend a great deal of time and energy attacking ID, what they're doing is drawing attention to it. I hate to tell you this because I know you represent the Discovery Institute, but I've never believed for a moment that the Discovery Institute's efforts to promote intelligent design accounted for nearly a tenth as much input as the Darwinists attacking.
And there's probably a lot of truth there.
I don't think they actually understand that. They redouble their efforts, and then they're dismayed to discover that more and more people are getting drawn into the dispute. They think this is an accident. That may be due to their philosophy that life itself is an accident. I see nothing accidental whatever in the process. In fact, I predicted it, that the controversy would continue to grow, and that the more they attacked intelligent design, well, now we see a whole bunch of Muslims are getting into the act.
Yes.
I don't think in the Muslim world, apart from the efforts of Harun Yahya in Turkey, very many people even considered the issue at all. But now every time I turn around, I'm hearing from a Muslim who wants me to know about his ID effort.
Interesting. Wow.
And how did it happen? Not primarily the Discovery Institute, which in fact, this all happened because they heard all the yelling and screaming from the Darwinists.
Very interesting. Wow. Now, Denise, you made a comment how the Darwinists, you know, obviously discussing this issue so much has brought a lot of attention to it. Now, interestingly, if you read some calls from leading journalists within the ID debate, such as, say, Chris Mooney, who wrote on the cover of Columbia Journalism Review in 2005, right as the Dover rule trial was about to start, he basically said that journalists should abandon traditional journalistic notions of balance in favor of slanting their articles towards the pro-evolution side so as to not give the perception that there is, you know, time should be afforded to the viewpoints of these quote-unquote denialists, as he's written elsewhere in the LA Times. So I think, you know, you see this at work in the minds of some Darwinists who would say, don't give these guys' views the time of day. But, I mean, how can they avoid actually raising the issue of intelligent design even when they're attacking it?
Well, all I can say is, the more they do that, the better it'll be for the intelligent design guys. Let's face it. If the intelligent design guys have a chance to make their case, they make a case that can actually be evaluated. Now, as with any case, there are strengths and there are weaknesses.
Sure.
Right? What the Darwinists have primarily done by their constant Darwin bot attacks, motivated personal insults, demands that media abandon balance, is make it very clear that intelligent design is something that frightens them very much.
Sure.
And in my experience, the primary reason that something frightens people to that extent is because it's both powerful and true. Now, it may not be powerful and true, but they're doing a very good job of portraying it that way.
I think that's very insightful, and I think that you can often learn a lot about an issue, as you said before, just by seeing how people respond to it. And I think that these are very good words to take home with us. So, Denise, do you want to give any more thanks to your critics out there on the blogosphere for sending people to your blog?
Yes, please, Darwinists, continue to attack me. I put up the post Darwinist in order to enable people to use my archives to find out what's happening, and it's in Blogger, so anyone can find it using the Google search engine. It's a public service, and you're helping people, so please do it.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Denise. I appreciate you being on our podcast again right now, and we'll look forward to some more interviews with you. Thank you.
And hi to all my Compox morons.
We don't get their comments published. Thank you very much for listening. This is Casey Luskin signing off.
Music on ID the Future comes courtesy of composer Yuri Mamchur. Visit www.yuriproductions.com and check out his latest CD, In the Harbor. This program was recorded by Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. Discovery President is Bruce Chapman. ID the Future Managing Editor is Robert Crowther. And the producer is Keith Bennett. ID the Future and ID Science in the News is copyright Discovery Institute 2006. For more information, visit www.discovery.org or www.idthefuture.com.